In the long term, South Sudan's future depends on other resources that will be more valuable than the oil that it has today, and that's particularly its land. It's extremely well-watered land, which it makes for some of the best farming land in the world for grazing cattle, and can be dammed, and there are also potential for fishing resources there.
If that is the case, why is Sudan and South Sudan still focusing on the issue of oil rather than moving to some other sources of economy?
In the short term, in the immediate term, oil is the lifeblood, not only of the economy, but of the money that the governments in Khartoum and Juba rely on for all the activities of government, paying the army, keeping the government running. And also, it has to be said, a fair amount of this oil goes into the pockets of the elites in Khartoum and Juba. It's not properly accounted for.
Since January 2012, they shut down the oil pipelines, and there has not been any flow of cash for sustenance of their economy. And how have they been surviving, the two countries?
Well, in South Sudan, they had reserves. The amount of money that had come in, particularly over the immediately prior 6 months, allowed them to have a cushion. But the economic crisis in South Sudan is still maturing. Unfortunately, we've not seen the worst yet. If the oil is not switched on, if there isn't agreement to restart that production and export, the coming year is going to be very, very tough.
Moving beyond the oil, other sources of the economy like agriculture, it needs a lot of work. I come from an agricultural land in the whole of Western Equatoria. Do you think the government in Juba has the political will and the money to start making use of that huge chunk of land for agricultural purposes?
I'm sure that as time progresses and as the government settles in and matures, and people from across South Sudan who have a long-term vision for the future rise to positions of influence, they'll see that there's enormous potential in agriculture, also in things like ecotourism. I mean, South Sudan has some of the most fantastic wildlife anywhere in the world. And there is enormous potential for vast game reserves, which could also be carbon sink. These have a financial value beyond tourism. They have a value because the extent of the vegetation there is part of the lungs of the world are found in South Sudan.
You have been close to these two countries for quite a long time and have been advising the leaders at some point. You have been talking to maybe donors and the other Western governments. What are they telling you about their intentions, about their wishes for this country, South Sudan?
South Sudan has an enormous reservoir of goodwill. People really around the world wish it the best. They feel that the government after independence was perhaps overplayed its hand. It was perhaps too reckless, a little bit irresponsible, perhaps giddy with the newly won independence and sovereignty and what went with it. It's now certainly sobering up. International donors are coming in to support it in really quite realistic and serious ways. They're also getting very frustrated with Khartoum, because at the moment it's Khartoum that has been blocking the resumption of the oil supply. And if Khartoum continues to block, I think it's very likely that in the coming months, the international donors will say, well, yes, we would like the oil supply through northern Sudan to resume, but if Khartoum can't be trusted, well, then we will help South Sudan find an alternative pipeline to the Indian Ocean in Kenya. And we will keep South Sudan afloat for the 3 or 4 years that it'll take to construct such a thing.
Some critics of the government in Juba is saying this international goodwill is in the backdrop of a corrupt government, a government that barely accounts for anything. What do you say to that?
A year ago, there was a major corruption scandal with allegations being made by the president that many, many millions of dollars had gone missing. If there's a silver lining to the economic crisis of the last year, it is that the absence of that oil revenue has compelled the South Sudanese government and elite really to look at their spending habits, to become more accountable, and for international donors to work with them to institute better systems of accountability. And I think we can be hopeful that over the medium term, at any rate, these will have some impact, and we'll see a substantial improvement in the governance in South Sudan.